America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
The transit of Venus, it is called. It will be quite the spectacle.
It is. Well, George, it is beautiful.
It is.
And this is what you have been doing.
There is something about the heavens.
In this world we live in, where I'm given so much power and attention, it is good to remember I'm a bit of dust on a small dot in the universe.
Keeps one humble. Being king is a hazard. My world has been made to revolve around me. It has made me selfish. I cannot imagine how painful and cruel it must have been to have me ruin your wedding night.
It was your wedding night too.
I'm so sorry.
Yes, well, I do not forgive you. Yet.
Yet. Yet is good. Yet is hope.
Uh-huh.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Bridgerton with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to Bridgerton on Netflix. So sit back, relax, and let's get ready to spill the tea. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and oh boy. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Do I find myself actually liking this king? Oh. I don't know yet. I'm not willing to go there quite
That's
yet.
That's okay. That's all right. I feel like many people are dealing with this conflict, particularly in this episode, hot and cold. What is going on? Oh my goodness gracious.
For me, it's more of like a principle. It's a matter of principle at this point.
All right. Well, you know? I am excited to hear about this principle because, you know, this episode, being that there's only six episodes in Queen Charlotte, we are now one third of the way through. And for you to feel this conflicted about the king, oh my gosh, does this just scream, press next episode as quickly as possible.
Oh, no.
Well, we wanted to remind you all to subscribe to this podcast. You can find us on social media just by searching Mary and Blake. You can, of course, head to maryandblake.com, which sounds like it would be a wedding website, but it's not. It's actually our media website where you can
find
all
of our... It actually was a wedding website at one point. Not for us.
No.
Not for us. For some other Mary and Blake
out there in this universe who had purchased the domain Mary and Blake. When we got married, that wasn't a thing. Everyone just had their wedding website through
the knot.com.
That was the big thing. Yes. So nobody was like buying their own domains yet and forwarding it. But yeah, when we did create our media company, we tried to buy maryandblake.com, and there was some engaged couple. And once it ran out, their marriage ran out. Hopefully they're still together.
Okay.
Yes, please,
Mary and Blake.
Please still be together.
Please let us know.
Once that ran out, we were able to swoop it in. So if you do head to maryandblake.com, you're actually going to see all of the other podcasts that we are able to do and blogs. And we also want to remind you that this is all brought to you thanks to our members at jointhenerdclan.com. Thank you. If you are a member there, and if you're not yet a member, you're going to want to check it out. There's lots of fun things for people there. All right, let's get into the show.
Oh, I did it again. I did it again, Blake.
You're just so in the Bridgerton mood.
I know. Here we go. Let's get into the real one.
All right. There was no music for me to really.
No, there's no music. But I thought we would do like a little bit of a recap, if you will.
Oh, an episode recap of what happened?
Yeah, just a small little teeny weeny recap.
After doing this with you for a decade,
yeah.
I'm so used to you writing what you want me to do that I was leaning back. I was ready to take a little siesta, maybe have a little bit of seltzer. Okay. But I will tell you this. Normally, of course, we like to talk about the musical covers that happen. There was nothing that really stood out in this episode music-wise, but I will say that the music of the credits that you played just previously mm-hmm. hit me hard because there was such a long amount of time before the opening credits happened.
Yes.
Fun fact, the opening credits are exactly like 10 seconds. Could if you hit that little skip button, it's done. It's like they know that Netflix people just want to
just hit the
binge
skip
it and hit skip.
Yes.
But of course, here in this episode, this is Honeymoon Bliss. We start off with Queen Charlotte the day after, supposedly, her wedding. Mm-hmm. And she is dressed like a doll, eating dinner by herself over and over again. The only person that's getting action in a good way is Brimsley. And then we're seeing Lady Danbury getting bad action. Holy flippin' smokes. Lady Danbury and the Dowager Princess go head to head. Mm-hmm. It's Lady Danbury. Oh my God. And give me my home and my money and I will get you what you want. Yes. Are they having sex? Is the question on the table, because everybody's having sex except the two people who should be having sex, and they do at the end.
Yes. And in what I would deem a very typical Bridgerton style sex scene.
Agreed.
Where it's very romantic. It's very softly slow. Lit, slow.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's what Bella and Edward should have been.
So there you have it. Oh, and then of course it ends with George having a chat with his mom and having a little bit of a medical issue at the end of the episode. And so Reynolds, of course, says the queen will never know.
Yes. Right.
Neither do we. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Come on, George.
Well, we'll go along with it. Okay. The title of this episode was Honeymoon Bliss, and obviously Mary. It was anything but blissful upon
this honeymoon.
At the end. I mean,
yes, but at the end,
I would also say not so much. No. Just not great, Bob. That's what I would say to that one. I mean, yeah, right.
Not great, Bob.
Okay, the writer, of course, was Shonda Rhimes, the creator and showrunner for this limited series. And once again, we have the director, Tom Verica, the mm-hmm. Shondaland all-star director and actor and writer. The whole gamut, he runs it.
Yes. Okay?
And he does it for Shondaland. And he has directed episodes 102, 103, 205, 206 of Bridgerton. And again, it looks like he's directing all of these episodes for Queen Charlotte. Okay. Mary, what do you got for your cups of tea rating?
Now, of course, the premiere episode, I gave a 4 cups of tea. Still really good, friends. Still really good. A solid B. I don't do well with premieres. I actually don't usually do well for the first 2 episodes.
Yep.
That being said, this one did go up to a 4.5, which is still low in the Mary general grading of episodes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I would say yes, 100%.
But it is better for me than the premiere. I think what's killing me is that I know I only have 6 episodes and I'm so desperately wanting to know what's up with George. I am not understanding what's going on. Like you had said previously, I don't know if I really like him. This hot and cold is just, you know, it's like the Katy Perry song. Hot and you're cold.
Yes.
Yes and you're no. No.
I actually listened to that song today, as a matter
of fact.
And
then you're out, up and you're down. I just can't. I'm Katy Perry'd with him right now. And it's just way too much. But I will say what helped bring this up is spending more time in this universe. I'm absolutely loving. I'm loving what they're doing with the direction of working in the different just the different people into the ton and the different societies. Mm-hmm. And I did not expect to have so much Elder Charlotte, Agatha, and Violet. And we are getting like multiple little glimpses in them, having some conversations.
Okay.
And I didn't expect that. I just didn't know that they were really going to be in here. So it's kind of neat to have so much in the present Bridgerton time be interwoven. So I thought that was really neat because I love me some Lady Danbury.
Yes.
And some Violet Bridgerton.
So this is a good thing for you.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. What's helped bring it up since the premiere is I got to spend more time with these people that I didn't know I was going to be spending time with.
Fair enough. All right. What do you got? Anything else? Any no,
that's
GBG?
It.
That's it?
Okay, oh, no, good. I will do my GBG, but what's your cups of tea?
Oh, goodness gracious. I am sorry.
It's okay.
I'm on Mars right now. Holy smokes. What are we doing? All right. My cups of tea rating, I'm probably going to keep this in the same place as the premiere.
Okay. It's for the premiere, just as a reminder, you gave it a 4.4.
Yeah, I think that's...
Did you like this better, same, or worse than the
premiere? I'm going to say same.
Okay.
I'm going to say same. Like, it's, you know, like, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
I am glad, actually, that it's 6 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the right count.
Mm-hmm.
Given, you know, how
they're
long...
They're getting a lot into each episode.
Yeah. And obviously, since there's no way to, you know, there's no source material, right? It's just that it's just made for television. And,
yes.
And then they took the television show and they turned it into a book, right? So,
yes.
I would say I think 6 episodes is probably the right count.
Awesome.
At the pace that they're going and what they're showing and how they're showing it. So we'll see what happens from here.
Okay.
So, yeah, 4.4 for me. All right, you're GBG. You're good, you're bad, and you're great.
My good is what I had mentioned before, that there were 8.5 full minutes of Queen Charlotte being dressed and undressed like a doll, eating alone, wandering, just standing about. You almost forgot that the opening credits didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then it's this harsh boom, you know, screaming, you know, on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the opening credits. And I just thought that was so brilliant because I'd actually seen some people commenting that they found that boring. Like, why do we have to watch her eat?
Oh, I loved
so
that.
Many times.
Loved
and
it.
That was the point. Like, we were supposed to be getting frustrated with her. Like,
yes.
What is going on? And then by the time you get the opening credits, you're like, oh my God, that's all that's happened so far. And yet that was so long. So I loved it. My bad is the fact that the king is bothering me. You know, for Brimsley to say, like, does he like women? Because that was one of my questions. Like, maybe he's not interested mm-hmm. in Queen Charlotte, and maybe their 15 children are going to be fathered from someone else. You know, now we're leading to believe something different, because obviously Reynolds says no. I can tell you that he likes females. But then also at the end of this episode, we see the king start to shake. But his fighting with Charlotte in the observatory, it just felt so awkward. It's so hot. Hot and cold. It gave me a lot of flashbacks of like Beauty and the Beast. Is Charlotte kind of like stuck here and she has to say, I don't forgive you yet?
Then
so
you can starve.
Like the casting that they did with the king, he is so beautifully charming.
Yes.
That it helps us all start to break down some of these walls. But I would not be as forgiving as Queen Charlotte. I will just tell you, if someone treated me like that, you got another thing coming.
Well,
we're going to have a food fight next time you show up. But then again, he is the king. And I like that Lady Danbury says, like, listen, it wasn't too long ago that wives were beheaded
right.
when they didn't have babies. So I know that this isn't 2023. I can't have a food fight with the king when he finally shows up.
Yes.
But I'm just saying that I need more time with the king.
Are you saying the gray stuff would be all over the place?
Oh my gosh, it's delicious, but let's be real. Get a little Rufio and some hook action. It's just, I need time with him to wrap my mind around him.
Yes, I would agree. I think.
And I think for people who don't know about King Charles's condition, once again, we get a glimpse
into.
Oh my gosh. That better not happen again. Weird. King George's condition, which of course, like if you watched Bridgerton, you got to see a bit of it, right? Like he's not right in the head.
Right.
He definitely suffers from some mental illnesses. And then we get a glimpse of that at the end of this episode. If you didn't really know what it was about, or if there's other elements, yeah, maybe you would think he would be at a brothel. Maybe you would think he wasn't interested in Charlotte, or maybe he wasn't interested in females. Like whatever it may be, you have these kind of questions like, why is he leaving this woman alone so frequently?
Mm-hmm.
And why is he just steering clear from her? So I am very interested to see what's going on with him, because he has been my bad.
Really?
I don't love him for her yet.
Mm.
They had some great sex, but I'm like, but you were just mean.
Right.
You were just mean, okay? And Tauruses, we don't forget. We don't forget. Sorry,
no,
man.
Forget.
No, I don't. And that sucks. But I'm willing to give him another few episodes because I do think he's quite charming. My great, however, was the deformed bunny thing.
Oh, yes. Loved that. Thought
deformed,
that was phenomenal.
Funny thing. Her expressions every time she sees that little dog are out of control amazing. And I did hear that of like everyone on the set, actually this puppy was like the downfall because it was just an 8-week-old Pomeranian puppy who wouldn't behave. Obviously, not super duper trainable because it's just 8 weeks old.
Right.
And they had to do these shots with little Pom Pom. And little Pom Pom was a brat. It was a little 8-week-old Pomeranian. And so whenever I would see the Pomeranian, you know, the scene where it's running and Brimsley eventually just like carries Pom Pom, like, is that because this little Pomeranian really
guarantee.
Was being a brat and
yes.
running all around? You saw like it running and yipping. Like, maybe they didn't even want those kind of clips, but they were like, fine, this is what we got.
Right. Just keep it in.
So I'm here for the deformed little bunny.
Time
thing.
Is money, man. Let's go.
Does she really not know it's a dog until Lady Danbury is like, that is a dog?
No. I think she knows it's a dog. She's got to know it's a dog.
Oh, and then he sent me this deformed little bunny thing. How about you, GBGs?
My good is... Oh, the whole beginning of her eating and then dressing, undressing, eating, dressing, undressing. She is 100 completely percent alone. And
I mean, not actually alone, but emotionally
yeah,
alone.
Yeah, well, no.
She's
it's
got
like
all those people around her, but she can't talk to them.
It's like the New York thing. Like, you're yes. either the most, you're either like the most sociable person on the planet in New York, or you're the loneliest planet, yes. person on the planet in New York. Like, you got all these people. None of them are your friends. You really can't talk to anybody, any mm-hmm. of them. You can't go out. You can't do anything. You're just kind of there. And
makes it worse.
Yeah. And I love when it all culminates in her screaming at mm-hmm. the bed. Because I know that as humans, we've all been there at some point for one reason or another,
yep.
where you've just grown so frustrated that there is no relief except for just screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I thought it was kind of like played off as a joke a little bit. And then I was like, no, this is like a legit thing. Like, she is sad, frustrated, angry, miserable, like all of it all together. And it all just comes out in this moment. And then she says, you know what? No, we're going to go see the king. And that to me yes. is the sign of a person who understands the situation, knows what she wants, will yep. do what she needs to do to get it, and will not necessarily take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very pleased with that. I thought, and just showing how alone this person is. Again, mm-hmm. that's not something that you can do in a book. That's not something that can really be said over voiceover, right? It's mm-hmm. that's just something that you have to show. And very little words, almost none at all, in this entire opening sequence, which to me is even better. The less words, the better. Okay. Mm-hmm. The bad for me. I've already said last episode, there's a lot going on here.
Yes.
There's a lot. And even though I did say that I was glad that it's only 6 episodes, that doesn't mean it's not moving at a quick pace. And it doesn't mean that there isn't a lot at play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a very fine balance to get a satisfactory arc for each of these things. And I say all of that with this in mind. I don't know if we have room for the relationship with Brimsley and Reynolds. I don't know.
Mm.
I'm not saying no, and I'm not saying yes. I'm completely on the fence. This is a total fence take, okay? But it's my bad, because I don't know what the purpose is going to be, other than we're just giving Brimsley something to do.
I think we're getting happy sex because we haven't had any happy sex. This is like Bridgerton season 2 all over again.
That's true. That's true. Hey, listen, if there's the more love in the world,
because then
the
only other sex you get is Danbury sex, and we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know how that.
We don't want that.
No one wants that.
Please.
I've said this before. Actually, Mary was the one who gave me this phrase, and I've really taken to it. It doesn't matter who's in love. I don't care. Like, the more love, the better in this world. And that is amazing. And yes, but in terms of story itself, there's a lot happening here between the current timeline, the previous timeline, understanding George, understanding Charlotte, understanding the dynamic between Charlotte and her mother-in-law, like, and then setting up this great experiment. Like, do we really have time for Brimsley and Reynolds? it feels like a side quest.
However, I did love that while they were having their little rendezvous, it was an interrogation. You know, what's wrong with your man? Is his bits okay? So there was this, and they were kind of both playing it. So I don't know how else that would have happened, because had he just been asking, I feel like Reynolds would have shut him down.
Sure.
And yet, hello, we're having like foreplay, we're doing stuff here. You can't be saying no. So I liked that it was done in this way, as we see Brimsley further interrogate Reynolds through this episode.
Right, right.
And I assume there's only going to be more of it, as he's super supportive of his queen, mm-hmm. that I like that he gets to do it in this way. It's very right. 50 Shades of Grey.
And then my great, actually, I have a tie, and it actually goes along with Brimsley. When my first great is when he says, no, Your Majesty, I will never tell you no. I will never tell you that you can't do something, but I will tell you how you can do something. And he gives her the advice of, hey, why don't you take one person at a time, make it quiet, and then we'll figure it out. And then they both decide that it's going to be Lady Danbury, you know, to whom she confesses all of this
yes.
stuff, right? I loved that moment
mm.
because for me, that's the moment that solidifies both of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the moment where you say, okay, I get it.
I see this pairing. Yes.
I get it now. I understand why he is the way he is with her and mm-hmm. vice versa. And at the same time, I also understand why Lady Danbury is the way with the queen
mm-hmm.
and vice
so
versa.
So candid, yes. Because, she taught her sex, baby.
Yeah. And
let's talk about you.
And the queen could be real with Lady Danbury at probably her most vulnerable moment of her life, right?
Yes.
At least up until then, but it, certainly with it, that's top five moments, right? Of mm-hmm. vulnerability, right? So I really love that moment because it calcifies two very important relationships in one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I get it.
Yeah.
I see what we're doing here and it makes sense. All right. My other great though, and I can't tell if this is the real great or just another great, but the other great that I have is when Lord Danbury says, hush girl. And it's not because I don't believe that women should not talk. It's because all of this has been in favor of the great experiment,
mm-hmm.
right? And it is fantastic that we're talking about the great experiment in within the Bridgerton verse, you know, the way that it's presented, it is showing that the people are moving forward and they're more accepting and everything, but still
women gotta be quiet.
Not all is happy go lucky. Mm-hmm. Not it ain't all sunshine and rainbows. Mm-hmm. Okay. This ain't double rainbow all the way. It's still a little like,
yes.
Okay. And having that bit of reality in terms of the story is good because
mm-hmm.
it keeps you grounded still. And even though you may not like it, and even though it was like, you know, rude as hell, it's still good for the story. It creates that tension. And it also creates like a little bit of a satisfaction for Lady Danbury. Because when he says it, she's like, oh, okay. You know, like. Yep.
But then he walks ahead of her and she's just like, whatevs.
Yeah, whatevs.
I did this.
And
yes.
you do what you want to do. And you mm-hmm. think what you want to think. And that's fine with me. I love all of that.
Agreed.
I love that dichotomy for all of these characters. The hush girl was great. So, Mary, I want to start the rest of this conversation with one thing. And I want to get your opinion on it,
okay.
which is Shonda still does this thing where she gives Charlotte a taste. She gives Charlotte a taste for what could be. And when she thinks that she's finally evolved or turned the corner on her life or in her relationship, she snaps her back right mm-hmm. to reality. And we begin this episode with Charlotte being alone. That great shot of her, you know, like it's like a, you know, a vertical shot of her head
yes.
laying on the bed, right? And then she comes up and then she ends this episode alone
mm-hmm.
again. And then she's having her breakfast alone as in, you know, in her younger years. And then at the very end of the episode, it's once again her having breakfast
yes.
alone saying, what a nice breakfast.
Yep. So sad.
It's very sad. And I love the devices that Shonda's using here because it's not a happy fairy tale. It's not something that, you know, I think a lot of people were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
to me, this feels like, okay, what happens when a marriage isn't what it's all cracked up to be? Like the reality of it all.
And you know, and I think that that is something that I am so excited for about this series, this season, this spinoff. You know, the other two seasons of Bridgerton have been the Violet Bridgerton way of getting kids to get married, which is falling in love.
Yes.
Now, granted, Anthony's relationship had a very oddly different, I mean, both Daphne and Anthony had kind of stumbled their way into their relationships, right? But they genuinely fell in love with the person before they got married. And so we got to follow their courtship and their shyness and their cuteness and will they, won't they? Oh my gosh, yay. And then they get married. Oh my God, it's amazing. And it's completely different here because from the get-go, we know that this is tragic. Mm. We know that, yes, there will be this love between them, but it's going to have this mental illness. It's going to have separation. It's going to have the queen constantly wondering, is the king dead? The queen always being alone, as we always see her in Bridgerton. We know that Lady Danbury is alone as an elder. We know that Violet is alone as an elder. We know that Brimsley's alone. Like, everyone is alone. And we already know this about them. And then also to make things different from Bridgerton is we get this whole beautiful buildup of courtship and then it ends in marriage, right? Like that's the grand finale is their weddings. And yet this show, it's the opposite. They get married episode one. Mm-hmm. They don't have this easygoing courtship. And granted, there was always like little, you know, between Daphne and Anthony, there were always little things that got them snarled along the way of their courtship. Sure. But we knew they were going to be together and it was going to be fine. But this one, for you and I to be like, oh man, things are rocky.
Yeah.
I love that is different. I love that this is not what we got in Bridgerton. Yes, we got that nice little sex scene at the end that felt Bridgerton-esque, but then it was ripped away from us again.
Yes.
And I love that.
Yeah, it feels like Bridgerton is the buildup to the wedding day, and Queen Charlotte is, okay, what happens when the wedding day is over and you got to wake up the next day? Mm-hmm. And life continues.
And what is marriage like? Now, granted, this is bananas marriage, right? You get married when you just meet each other. But marriage isn't a walk in the park. It is not a promenade.
No. Okay? No.
There is no more make haste. It is forever. And you are going to have big issues that you come up with as a married couple. And granted, Charlotte and George are completely different than like the normal everyday couple. But I'm excited to be living in a conflicted marriage, in a marriage that has family issues, in a marriage that has health issues, in a marriage where people have different opinions and viewpoints and cultures, because that's real.
Yeah, Mary. And I think you're leading right into what I wanted to talk about earlier. When you mentioned it, I started and then I stopped. And that is, you would not take well to the kind of treatment that Charlotte received from George. And you also said that you wouldn't be so quick to forgive George. And my thought on that is, well, I don't know if I believe you. And better yet, I don't know if that would be applicable. And the reason why I say that is because if, let's say you're Charlotte, right?
Okay.
You've come from Germany, you got nobody, and the only person that you're actually here to be with is George.
Yes.
He has held you at a distance for some time.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, you go there, you see him, and he lets you in.
I mean,
and you get a chance to see him at what could be his most vulnerable, right? Like when it may not be sharing what you want to be shared, right? But he is sharing a very vulnerable and purposeful thing to him.
It wasn't enough for me.
But wouldn't you see value in that? Like when I took you to go to see the Red Sox game at the Monster Seats, like, is that the greatest date of all time? Is it the most romantic thing of all time? No, but I did it because that was part of my heart. Like I wanted to share that with you. Like I wanted you to experience that with me. By the way, that was like our second date, wasn't it? Yes, it was our second date. And I spent an obscene amount of money on these tickets, but I wanted to do it because I wanted to share this thing with this girl that I was already madly in love with. So I feel like it's the same thing.
No, because if so, then he would have invited her already to the observatory and not kicked her out.
Fair, but then again, we also...
I mean, he invites her eventually.
But we also understand, too, that he has some... We know that he's got some issues.
We know, but she doesn't. So until he is open up about his issues, like you're like, oh, he's sharing himself. No, I know he's going to. Yes. I know they're going to have a beautiful love. We know this.
Yes.
But I'm saying I want to see how he does that. I want to see how he shares his truth with her. Because just because he's like, oh, Charlotte, it's hard being king. I'm selfish at times. I'm sorry. Like, he gets away with it because he's bloody gorgeous, okay? And then he has his butt on TV for a straight 60 seconds, okay? You get away with it. You're doing a good job, eyebrows, okay? We got it. His eyebrows.
You know what I realized?
Oh my gosh, they're just like, they're so strong, and I just can't stop looking at his, like, they just, the focus, the focal point. I always tell people, you know, your eyes, like, sure. frame, yeah. your eyebrows frame your eyes. So all you're doing is staring into George's eyes. That's all you're doing.
I realized that mm-hmm. this actor who plays George, he is the baby of Tom Cruise and the guy who played Superman. Oh, what the heck's
his
name?
Henry Cavill?
Henry Cavill. He is the love child of Tom nice. Cruise and Henry Cavill.
Wow.
I realized that. I was watching it last night.
I mean, his smile. I'm just saying that, like, I need more of him. So, no, I would not be forgiving yet, personally. Not saying, but there's the yet, okay?
Yes.
But for you to say, oh, he showed himself and he did the observatory. You bringing me to the Red Sox game did not woo me over. What wooed me over is that you forgot the bloody tickets and then we had to get back.
No, I forgot my wallet.
Wallet, even better. Forgot your wallet that had the tickets in it, plus all the money that you would have needed for anything. And then we had to hop on the train and get back to the place. I mean, it was chaos.
It wasn't chaos.
Yes, it was. You were sweating so much, and I thought it was so cute.
I was upset.
I was so hungry, though.
I was so. I've never seen a girl eat so much at a baseball game.
On a date.
On a date. What'd you want? Give me a hot dog with everything on it.
All the extra packets.
All the packets.
Maybe if I put extra relish on it, I must have had the worst breath.
I was like, okay, here's
I don't even
hot
like
dog.
Onions on hot dogs. I wanted it all. I was so hungry.
I got a bag of peanuts.
I thought
those
he was taking me out to an Italian
beat.
Restaurant. I thought he was going to take me to dinner so I didn't eat on purpose. And oh my God. And then you forgot the tickets and then we had
to
go.
No, I forgot my wallet.
So you forgot the wallet. So we had to go back and then we had to go back again. And by then my stomach was about to eat my face. And for those of you who don't know, I get hangry. Like I'm not who I want to be when I'm hungry. I'm like Gollum. You know when Gollum's talking, when he's Smeagol? I'm like Smeagol usually. Hungry, I'm Gollum. And then I have these conversations. When did he forget his wallet? I don't know where he forgot his wallet. Just give him a break. But I'm hungry. Are there crackers on the street? Do you have any gum? So
filthy hobbitses.
So I'm saying all this because if I was Charlotte, oh cool, you've got like a one of a kind observatory. Oh, it must be so hard to be the king. Whatever, you're hot. You made me laugh.
Yeah.
Like we're kind of cute. But still you're a jerk. What's wrong with you? And until he answers what's wrong with him, and until he opens that up, I would not be forgiving.
Is his
And I, Mary, as a viewer, am not forgiving. I know once it all comes out, I'm going to be a pile of mush, though.
Okay.
All the fives.
Is George really that aloof where he's just like, oh, hey, Charlotte, what's going on? Or is it like, oh, this is going to be an argument and I don't want it. I'm trying to avoid it. So let's do this, right? Like, because it ends up with him saying, all right, go, leave, please.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think he greets her the way that he does so that he can avoid the end?
Oh, okay. You want to know something terrible?
Yes.
As much as I'm like hating on George, mm-hmm. I think I'm a lot like George. Okay?
Okay. I need to hear this.
All right. I am, let's fight, let's be mean, get out of my face. And then when I see you later, hi, how's it going?
Oh.
All the time, right, Blake? Okay, so the other thing.
Bananas.
I was having a great conversation with one of my best friends. She was dating a gentleman who was avoiding her via text, was having difficulty and issues, and he ended up opening up saying, I have anxiety. And she's like, I just don't know how to deal with him. And I was like, oh, sounds like me. I said, if he's not responding, it's because he's very anxious. And then he beats himself up because he's not responding. And he's like, just like, now I can't even respond now because now it's been 2 days. Now it's been 2 weeks. Oh, my God, I'm the worst. I said, but if you see him in person, he's probably going to be amazing. And that's how I am. When I mess up on things, it just keeps getting worse and worse. And the little, another friend calls it trolls on your shoulders, you know, whispering in your ears. So if it were me and I had that big blowout and then I had some days to calm down and then Charlotte just surprised me in my happy place and I felt good, I would be so happy to see this woman that I honestly think he likes. Mm-hmm. I think he likes Charlotte. And so I'd be excited and I try to be on my best behavior and I try to show her all the cool things. But then if she was winding me up and I wouldn't want her to see me when I do get riled up, I would be wanting her to go. And I say this because when Blake and I get in arguments, I have to tell him, I'm starting to get frustrated. I'm getting frustrated, Blake. Now is your frustrated warning. And sometimes he listens and sometimes he doesn't. And if he doesn't, I become Gollum.
Yes.
And then
full Gollum.
He's like,
takes
why
over.
Are you like this? And I'm like, I warned you. So I think that he
then
was.
She starts trying to bite my fingers off, trying to get to the ring of power.
Precious. But I saw that and I was like, that's how I am. It's like, I know my limit and I want to save you. I want to save you. Get away from me.
That's all I can see now is Gollum.
I know. Oh, I know. So God. I feel bad because when he was shaking at the end, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Ugh. Wonder if it's his mom that pushes him over. I wonder how much pressure she's put on him.
Yeah. I wonder what they're going to characterize this ailment.
Blake
as.
Loves me, friends. I probably sound like the worst person right now talking about how I'm Gollum.
Sure. Well, I mean,
but between being hungry and.
Listen, we all have the Gollum in us, okay? Every single person does.
Mine's usually when I'm hungry.
Yours is just when you're hungry. And then yours comes out after a certain amount of time. I know. In order to improve my life, I have to do one of two things.
Yes.
One, sleep. Go take a nap, Mary.
Yes.
Or two, feed you tacos. One of those two is going to give
snacks.
Me a good answer.
You'll win. You'll win.
Throw in some chocolate peanut butter cookie dough ice cream. We'll see.
Can't go
I might
wrong.
Even get you back to Smeagol.
Yeah, maybe my Venus. Who knows?
Oh, by the way.
Lumos.
Lumos just knocked over like half of our studio.
Okay.
That's okay. Not a coincidence, by the way, that George is showing the Charlotte, the planet Venus.
How can at this day and age George say, oh, through the transit of Venus, we're going to figure out how far Earth is from the sun?
Yeah.
When nowadays people think the Earth is flat.
Well, because those people
are freaking.
How are
they still idiots? When George time people figured out the distance between the Earth and the sun and they didn't have rockets.
You want to know? You want to know something even worse?
Any of this science stuff? Tell me.
People figured out that the Earth was round, that it was a sphere.
Yeah.
Back when it was in ancient Greece.
And I just don't understand how, like.
But then there are just.
There's people who believe YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on YouTube.
But we ain't saying that the Earth is flat.
I'm saying I'm Smeagol. Like, don't believe people on YouTube.
Oh, man.
I do love his astronomy love. And,
yes.
And Charlotte goes and she even gets a book about astronomy.
Yes.
She's in the library.
Yes. I think it's nice. I know that you say that it's hard for you to accept his reasoning. Of what he's doing and how he just plays it off.
No, I'm not saying it's hard to accept because I see a lot of what I would do if my mental illnesses were extreme.
Yeah.
I see it. It's just I need him to open up about that to Charlotte for me to feel better about him.
I don't see that happening anytime soon. I just don't. I mean, I'm sure that it's going to. I'd probably say around episode 4, I bet.
Okay.
Because you think about it, we're a third through the season.
That's what
now.
I said in the beginning.
Yeah. I know. It's just when you think about it, okay, we're covering some ground here, right? Mm-hmm. I bet he probably confesses to her. Episode 4.
Okay.
I bet ish, maybe episode 5, and then she finally gets it. Like, there's gonna come. I bet you there comes like a breaking point, and then he has to like he has to do or say something.
Or like, is someone else going to say something to her? I mean, it's so weird because the Dowager Princess talks about things and, you know, the Parliament talks about things vaguely, and yet Brimsley doesn't know anything. It just, I don't know who knows what. I need the lay of the land a little bit more, and I want Charlotte to be in the know a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Charlotte being in the know, mm-hmm. what do you think about her take on the Great Experiment? Like, do you think that is motivated by like the fact that she just doesn't care about it, or that she just doesn't know enough about it?
I don't think she would have known anything.
Why do you say that?
I think that she probably came from a society that was mixed races, because she didn't remark upon, wow, there's so many white people here. Mm-hmm. So I take it that where she was from was mixed socially.
Sure.
Because she doesn't seem to have any odd feelings that the...
Yeah, but
the percentage is off.
But her brother did, though.
The brother, I felt like he said it, meaning that there was never someone, like a person of color in...
Oh, in England.
In the palace.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But I didn't feel like I feel like Lady Danbury, of course, felt and knew, oh, nobody's, you know, the people on the other side, you know, they're looking. But I didn't feel like Charlotte had any of that. And that's either Charlotte feeling just super confident about herself, which it may be because this woman is one of the most confident people I've ever seen in a television show.
Sure.
Or what I feel like is that this looks the same, or at least similar to what she has, very similar to what she has at home. So when Lady Danbury says, this is different for us, you know, your position being here actually affects all of us.
Yeah.
That's when I think Charlotte realizes, oh, this isn't how it was. Like, what do you think was in this universe? What do you think it was like socially where Charlotte was from? Do you think everyone had darker skin? Do you think it was mixed? Because to me, the way she acts here, to me, it just feels like it's always been mixed to her.
Yeah, I would say that there's...
So I don't think she realizes a great experiment happened, because I don't think she sees that there was anything different until Lady Danbury says, no, girl, things were different before you came here.
Right.
And then it opens her eyes that there is an equality here where there was a... I feel like there was equality where Charlotte was from.
Right.
Yeah. And so for her to come here and be like, you guys aren't treated as equals. This is not okay. I have the luxury that I've had equality my entire life. I will make this happen.
Interesting. That's a good take. I don't think that there's any other evidence to show otherwise, right? Like, and her actions, again, unless she's just incredibly unaware, right? Or just divorced from her surroundings at all times. But I don't feel like that's the kind of character she is, because immediately what she wants to do is go see poor people, go help people, go do the thing.
Yes.
Right? Like there's an engagement list here that we have to go under. That to me suggests that that's just part of her culture as well. Like that's the first mm-hmm. thing she goes to. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we have to do a bunch of stuff now. Let's go do it. Like if you didn't have that awareness, you wouldn't suggest that.
Correct.
Which means that is something that you were doing, at least within your part, from where you came.
Yes.
Right? So I think that if there is evidence, it does suggest that either she's very aloof, or you're right, Mary, that she comes from a place where that equity is just ever present. Mm-hmm. And I like that take either way. Because if she is that aloof, she's got a lot coming, right? Because there's also some evidence to suggest that she is just kind of oblivious. Right? Like, she is sheltered. She, like, doesn't know what happens on the wedding night. She's got to have Lady Danbury draw pictures for her and the whole thing. Again, not to say that, you know, she's incapable or she isn't smart enough to understand it. She just doesn't have that awareness yet.
Yeah.
Right? So, I think there's some back and forth there either way. Nevertheless, though, she does get educated, luckily, by Lady Danbury.
Oh, on who both, needs to play Pictionary?
On both things. And
we need paper and charcoal.
I loved, eventually, when the queen says to the king, yeah, I don't want to do the head hitting the headboard thing. Mm-hmm. Can we not do that? Yeah, I don't like that. Let's not do that. Again, it just shows a little bit of choice from her, and that she is going to stand up for what she wants.
Yeah.
I really like that.
I loved that during this, of course, Lady Danbury tells Charlotte about the Pomeranian being rare and purebred, educating her that it wasn't too long ago that queens are beheaded for not producing heirs. And then also just saying, like, if you don't consummate, you're not actually married.
Yes.
And how different it was even just from the Dowager Princess's time, that they had seven people in the room to make sure that it happened, mm-hmm. to now it being so modern and then give them the privacy. But it makes me wonder, you know, why would they give them privacy if it really was this important?
Well, just it's how things evolve. Like, you know, why do people sort of do things?
If actually you are, quote, not married. Because obviously, like, but now that's not what makes you married. 2023.
Well, I mean, I guess not. I guess not. No.
So when did that change? And then how were they sure of it? For Lady Danbury to say, you are not actually married unless you've consummated your marriage, unless you've done the deed. But then they don't actually check. How would they have ever known? Maybe they could have just never had sex.
That's true. That's true. And at that point, then you can, certainly the King of England at least could say, nope, mm-hmm. sorry, I'm out. Mm-hmm. You know, that, all thanks to Henry VIII, right? So, and I'm sure at that point, Henry VIII, you know, exists in this universe. There's nothing to say that he doesn't, right? So, yeah. You know, to suggest that the king could oust you just for the sake of saying it, I don't know. I'm not sure when that switched.
Well, the other thing I found interesting, of course, is here we have Lady Danbury going and visiting Charlotte. And then later on, you know, word gets around that Lady Danbury was there during the honeymoon when she wasn't supposed to have anybody there. And then the Princess Dowager finds out, the Dowager Princess, however you say it, potato, potato. And who in the world is snitching? They got so many people.
Well, you got all the different people.
I know. I'm like mad for Charlotte that someone on her staff snitched.
Snitches get stitches, man.
Honestly, I would be getting Brimsley all over that. I feel like Brimsley needs to comb through the list of who was there, who saw her, because it was his idea to have Lady Danbury there.
What if it was
there.
Brimsley?
No, Brimsley, because Brimsley sees his beau, and the beau says, hey, I hear that she's been having company. And Brimsley's like, what are you even talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't him. Somebody else. And I feel like Brimsley would be on top of that. Who is the mole? Who is letting out that Lady Danbury was here? But of course, Lady Danbury then gets called in by the princess.
Yes.
And she says, I want to know everything. I want to know if they've consummated. I want them to know. I want you to be my eyes and ears. And Lady Danbury says, cool, you got to pay me, though. Oh, I want a home. I want all this stuff.
Michelle Fairley in this scene, again, just continues to kill it. Because she's got that resting bitch face.
Yes.
Where it's like, you're getting judged. Mm-hmm. And when she says, you're going too far. You're asking too much.
Yep.
Oh, man, that is one intimidating friggin' woman.
When she's like, Lady Danbury.
Oh, love it.
Lady Agatha Danbury, who, by the way, was wearing an outfit that was very reminiscent of Claire from Outlander's Dior suit, black and white suit.
Okay,
that's just the style of the clothing. So I just loved that. I'm going to be interested to see if this gets Agatha in trouble.
I don't think so.
What does she tell the queen? And when she was leaving, her husband was like, what does a princess want to see with you? I was the guy. My dad was friends with her dad. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And Agatha says, oh, don't worry, honey. I'm going to tell you everything. Does she?
No.
What does she tell him then?
She probably gives him some story. Like, there's no way she tells him everything. And specifically because he's got the key. Right. And not to say that she's going to get kicked out. I'm saying he looks at that like I did this.
Yeah.
And I don't think Lady Danbury wants to upset that apple cart. Mm-hmm. I don't think that she does, because it doesn't serve her. Right. And it doesn't look like she has the greatest relationship with this guy of all time. Right.
No, not at all.
Like, what is she going to do?
Yeah.
Right. So I would say, no, she doesn't say anything to him.
Speaking of the relationship not being great, when we see the older versions of Charlotte and Agatha and Violet, and Charlotte is asking Violet, you know, oh, you've just had two children get married. How did you convince them to do that? And she goes on and on about falling in love and the flowers. And she says, your flower metaphors make me nauseous with sweetness. I'll just find them partners and they can fall in love later. What was interesting to me, in addition to just loving this scene, was Violet's reaction when Charlotte's saying, oh, they are in love with actresses, with women who are already married. And Violet's like, oh my God. And she's like, and they already have 50 grandbabies. And she's right. Like, oh my God. Like, Violet Bridgerton is as pure as pure can be.
Oh, I know.
She is Little Miss, like, prim and proper. People fall in love. And then through the love, the storks bring the babies. And it's great. And so I loved it. Whereas we have, you know, rather crass Queen Charlotte and Agatha, who've already, I mean, let's be real. They watched, like, porn pictures together. And then Agatha says, like, essentially, like, you don't have to marry for love. Like, don't look at me. I had only four kids.
Right.
And she is not saying a smidge about love, because neither Agatha or Charlotte married for love.
Yeah,
it was a duty.
I would like to think that Charlotte, no, I'm sorry. I would like to think that Agatha, mm-hmm. Lady Danbury, and Violet, Lady Bridgerton, mm-hmm. are two halves of Queen Charlotte.
Ooh.
Right? Like
the romantic and then the.
Yeah, that like there's the romance that there is romance there between George and Charlotte. Like there is love there.
Yes.
It may not be there yet, but mm-hmm. we do know that it does.
I mean, it is there. It is there. Don't climb over the wall.
Right. Yeah. So like gaze it's into there. My eyes. It's there. Yet at the same time, we also recognize Charlotte is very transactional and very duty driven. And that to me is very much Lady Danbury.
Yes.
Right. Agreed. So. When you have this conversation between the three of them, and again, you can understand why they all share this kind of relationship mm-hmm. that's probably out of the norm, right? Because mm-hmm. they all, well, both Lady Bridgerton and Lady Danbury exemplify two halves of Queen Charlotte that need to coexist together to form a whole person, right? Mm-hmm. The antithesis and the synthesis, right? Like. Or the antithesis, the antithesis and in the thesis combining to make the synthesis, right? The synthesis, of course, being Queen Charlotte, right?
Fun fact, I think they meet in the same orangery room, the same little garden.
Yeah,
room.
Oh, that was great. When he's like, orange. Yeah, and why don't you pick that and go put it in
their
lunch.
I think they have tea when they're having that conversation.
What did you think of Lady Bridgerton's reaction to the Queen when she's like, oh, okay, so this is also got to be.
And I loved
she's like,
it. That's what I'm saying.
That's not what I'm talking about, but okay. You do that.
It's perfect.
All right, you got anything else about this episode, my darling?
Why are there so many people that need to watch her eat? So many. I mean, there's like 10 people watching her eat.
That was another great little bit of showing and not telling. Mm-hmm. It's when she gets food or she even looks in one direction, two or three people like kind of jump to her aid you know, instantly. Nice. Good. Very cool.
I loved the bit with her running away from Brimsley, not really being able to.
Yep.
I loved seeing the two grandbabies with Violet. And then, of course, Queen Charlotte with all of her sons who are just hot mess expresses. And she's just laying it down.
Make me a grandbaby.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So incredibly good. And then the one who's like, I haven't seen my wife for 20 years. If I was your wife, I would leave the country too. I just absolutely love it. I love that it's because of Brimsley that we have the Pomeranians that he suggested, gesture.
What would you have done if you were given a Pomeranian as someone that would never let you alone?
Nope. I'd send it back.
Even though knowing it was a very unique and valuable breed, pure bred. If you
heard
you will.
It whining and barking. Oh, nope. No, thank you.
You know what else?
Give me like a quiet, old, lazy dog.
Yes.
That's what I'm here for. I say it all the time. My favorite dog, Shadow from Homeward Bound.
Oh,
all I want is a Shadow. Instead, we got this puppy that chews up everything, barks now. I just want the quiet, calm, basically a pillow, like a body pillow.
She'll get there eventually.
Not the Pomeranian.
Not the Pomeranian, no. Pomeranian is always going to be a little
I love how they show young Charlotte's hair at night, you know, showing how they care for her hair and how different it is, because frequently on shows we just don't get to see women of color's hair, how they treat it differently at night and how it is kept up. So I just absolutely loved that. I had a couple other things. I thought it was so funny how when George and Charlotte come home, and they're talking about how they can't be in the same carriage together because, you know, she might be carrying the heir.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, but I'm not. Like, there's been no way to. And he's like, but after tonight.
After tonight.
You might. And he's just saying it in front of everybody. Right. He's like, I'll see you in 10. She's like, see ya. And I just think it's so funny that obviously the entire castle knows, like, oh, they're going to have sex.
They're going to bang.
This is amazing. But on the flip side, I think it's so awkward.
Yeah.
Her nightgown, of course, with the millions of buttons.
I'm very good with buttons.
Okay, yes. Oh, okay, faint. But I wrote down, I love how natural they are at kissing, because when I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
I honestly think I started.
7 and 10 years.
7 and 10 years. Like, if like the, we're supposed to believe this is like her first French kissing. This is her first intimacy of any kind.
Sure.
She looks so good at it. Because my first time's French kissing was so gross and weird, as I feel like most of us. I don't know what I looked like. I'm not. I wasn't doing it in a mirror.
Like a whale.
But just like sword fighting slash like slobber dog. I mean, it was so gross. I was a late bloomer, and I remember like my girlfriends were already having sex at this point, and I was like, oh my god, this guy keeps like groping my boob and shoving his tongue in my mouth like he's a bird pecking for nuts or something. This is the worst thing ever. Like, how is this a turn on? And so I just love that she's like, I'm 17. I was like, girl, your first experience, so much better than mine. So much better than mine. Lordy Lord. Oh, man. And then let's see. Hush moment. I wrote that down too. Like,
what?
Oh,
the hush moment.
So Charlotte, after they have their sexy time,
yes,
and she gets dressed for breakfast. Mm-hmm. She's hugging the Pomeranian as she's walking, and she's saying, Brimsley, I don't want to have breakfast yet. I'll wait and have it with the king. And she's actually holding the dog. Yeah. And then when she hears George with his mother saying all the stuff that hurts her feelings, she gives the dog to Brimsley.
Yeah. Is George being truthful when he says this, or is this something
that I was
that's
born
for
the
mother?
Happiness or misery of the country?
Oh, and he's like, I know, because it is me. Like,
and
oh,
the
way
of the crown is on me like a knife.
Oh, it's a great way he delivers.
See,
it.
See, he got his golem out.
Yeah, his golem.
Mom did
totally
not leave him, and that's what you get: some real, raw, honest truth.
Is this truthful, or is this a show for his mother?
No, I think it's truthful. I think that's truly what he believes.
Like, meaning like, oh no, I did all this stuff for you. Like, I charmed her. I did the thing. I did what I was supposed to do, and you won't stop busting my balls. Like, do you really think that he did all the stuff with Charlotte because of duty or because he actually loves her?
Both. I think he would have done it with any broad that would have walked into that castle, but he lucked out because he also loves her, or is starting to.
Why do you think that?
Because I think no matter what, whoever this princess queen would have been, he would have had to do his duty. He would have done his duty no matter what.
Yes, I would agree with you
so,
on that.
So, yeah, I think he would have done it. But I don't think he's going to tell his mom, who he obviously has a really strained relationship with, but guess what, mom? Not only did I do my duty, but I liked it. You know, I don't think he's going to say that. I don't think, because his mom's just bugging him.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, how are you enjoying your honeymoon? What are you guys finding in common? Like, what do you like about her? She's just coming in and being like, did you do it? Did you do it? This is on you. You better not mess it up. Did you do it? No wonder he's freaking out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yes, mom, I did it. Oh my God. It took me like 3 days to calm down. Mom, you know, I have some issues. I had to like get the courage and have a little pep talk, maybe have a little CBD. I don't even know, mom. Thanks for asking.
Get the blue pill out. You
know about the blue pill.
The what?
Matrix?
No, the Viagra.
Girls don't know what color it is. How do you even know what color it is?
Because it's like a common thing. It's like in the pop culture of the world. I guarantee you, 80% of our listeners know what the little blue pill is.
I thought it meant Matrix.
That was red and green. Oh, no, that's a blue pill. Yeah. Red. Take the red blue. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
And then he sits down, right, of course, right. And Reynolds checks on him and he's shaking. It just made me think of you.
Yes.
And when I first started dating Blake back on the train to and from and then to again to Fenway, his hands used to shake so much.
Yes.
And he had terrible headaches. And as I got to know him better, I was like, I think your dad stresses you out. And he's like, no. I'm like, normal people don't shake. Like, your hands would literally be shaking. Yeah. Like what we saw on TV. And that's, yes, why I'm saying that, yes, I'm giving some hate on George, but I see myself in George. I see you in George. I see, yeah, anyone who's had like mental struggles. And I hated that I saw him shaking after his conversation with his mom, because like interactions that were negative with your father would cause you to physically,
yeah,
be compromised.
Like, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I 100% agree. It is very much true. And I think even George's reaction to it is very much true, where it's like, no, 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 I'm okay. Like, mm-hmm, no, no, I don't need a doctor. This is fine. I can get through it. And then all of a sudden, you very quickly recognize, ooh, wait, nope.
Yeah.
I need help. I need help. And that's another bit of vulnerability that I quite like.
Yes.
You know, from George and from the writing. Again, using these moments of vulnerability for these characters to understand them on a very basic human, mm-hmm, level. And I think Shonda is doing a very good job at that. Selling us on their love story is a different story.
Agree, but that's why I'm saying it's so different. Because that's all Bridgerton has been for us, is selling us the love story. It's just been this like gradual like roller coaster ride of love. And oh my God, what are they going to have eye sex now? Like, when are they going to have eye sex? Ooh, now they touched his hand. Ooh, the glove. Like, we've had that with Bridgerton.
Yes.
And that's what is so different with this, is that this is tumultuous. We know that this is tragic. And we know that Charlotte does love him. Like, mm-hmm, we've seen the from Bridgerton 2, season 2. So we know it's there. And I'm excited, but I also am hesitant, you know?
Given what we've seen so far, would you characterize Queen Charlotte as like the anti-Bridgerton?
No.
No?
No.
How come?
I would characterize it as the grown-up Bridgerton, the more realistic Bridgerton.
Okay. Fair enough.
You know, like we all watch Bridgerton because we're like, ooh, swoon, swoon. But like, life is freaking hard.
Yes.
And relationships are really hard. And marriage is really hard. And I love, love, love that we're having the older version of these characters to be able to even like have this back and forth, you know? So I'm excited to see like more of that combine, mm-hmm, whether they're as mothers or as partners or as lovers or not lovers. I just think it's really, really interesting to have these very strong women who marriage and love are different aspects in their life, but that's not what they're all after. Like, mm-hmm, I feel like with Daphne, she just wanted love, and that's because she was raised by Violet. Oh, love, sure, is the number one thing. Whereas for Lady Agatha Danbury, no, your life is your own thing. Yep. Your job, who you can impact in life, the things that you can do. Like, you know, you become a better person and you leave this world a better place. And everything's not going to be handed to you on a silver platter, but you got to work.
Right.
And you got to look out for you.
Even though her family comes from Sierra Leone and she's very wealthy in and of itself.
Yes.
But you're right. Like, she's the one who has to make the deal.
Yes. And that to me is real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then even with Charlotte, you know, Charlotte is showing complexities of relationships. I mean, a lot of people are in relationships with people who do change or are inflicted with tragedy, or maybe they have a child who goes through health issues, or they themselves go through it, and life isn't what they thought it was going to be,
mm-hmm,
for one reason or another.
Yeah.
And you have to keep rolling with it. And so I just, it's not that it's the anti-Bridgerton. I just think it's so grown up.
And I think there's also some visual language here too, Mary, that says this. If you notice in the previous timeline, everything is very colorful and vibrant and like very warm toned.
Mm-hmm.
In the current timeline, it's all very cool, very cool toned, yeah, very, very blue, mm-hmm, feeling, very not, I don't want to say washed out, but just not as vibrant. And that in and of itself is a visual language of transition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're young, everything's warm and funny and yay and wee, Bridgerton. Mm-hmm. And when you're older, it's just like, oh, a little bit more toned down. There's a lot at play here.
There's a lot more complexity.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what Queen Charlotte, and just as little as two episodes, I just think it's so much more complex.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't love Bridgerton. Obviously, I do. But this is making me feel different things. And that's why I think I rate it so differently. And it's not in a bad way. It's that I know that it's giving me complex feelings and it's making me digest it. And I'm kind of excited for people who do get to relive it and rewatch this series, whether they binged it all at once and then they kind of go back through a podcast or what have you, because it's just, it's complexity that I don't think Bridgerton has.
Yeah. Yep. All right. You got anything else for this episode, my love?
No, that is it.
All right. Let's close it out, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
Let's do it.
Did you have any scribbling predictions?
Oh, I didn't. I you know what? I don't know. I didn't even think about that. Ah, what do I got here? What do I got here? I kind of already gave you one that he's gonna confess.
Okay.
His mental.
You think episode 4.
By episode 4, yeah. All right, so that's my scribbling prediction.
Love it. I love it, love it.
Yep, that's perfect. What I think.
All right. Well, for the, on that note, ladies and gents, my name is Mary Larson.
My name is Just Blake.
Oh, now go out there and brew some more tea.